Hello and welcome to the Premier League Review Show with myself, Gav Max, Stephen Cotton and Ed Hall. How are you, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Buzzing, mate.
Yeah, enlighten me. Give me some more.
Ed, whose hangover is worse? My alcoholic hangover or your footballer hangover? Who's suffering worse right now?
Mine's going to last a lot longer.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'm getting old. I'm not like I used to be able to bounce back. But yeah.
So is our consistency.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, of course you can subscribe to us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at Tut Top Football. And you could did you know you could put Tut Top into Google? Our name comes up first. Yes, it does. As I continue to build this fight, just reminder. Not that you have to be reminded in life, but there is no room for racism, not today, not any day. So make sure if you see it, do something about it, report it, put it out there, because there's been so much going on in the world of late and it just needs to stop, really does need to stop. What also needs to stop is Liverpool losing at home. It's the most consistent run they've had at home.
We haven't started a new record. So, well, look, as far as I'm concerned, we're still flawless.
This is a nice record you've got going. It's the first time since 1963 that you've lost three consecutive home games. Of course, I watched the game. But I might as well go to the Liverpool fan first and talk about this, because Liverpool, man. You know, like when it comes to like Burnley and Brighton, you know, they're freak results. You know, City, they are arguably the best team in the country this season. You know, the table doesn't really lie at this stage as such in regards to who's top of the league. But what is going on at Liverpool at the moment?
What is going on at Liverpool at the moment? There is an element of everything. So everything that's happening to every other team is also affecting Liverpool. No more, no less than any other team. Not saying it's an excuse, I'm just saying it's part of a factor of it. We've established before, we're mentally tired as well as physically tired. I'm not chuffed with how Thiago is fitting into this team, but I believe he would fit into this team if he's paired up with Fabinho and Henderson. We're not benefiting from having a Thiago who's doing all the... Gini and Thiago are too similar and they're doing jobs which don't suit their capabilities. I think we look lost. We look like we gave up on this game, even when it was 1-0. When it was 1-0, we looked like we gave up on this game because it was a cheap penalty. A penalty, but a cheap penalty. Because Andy Robertson saying last week, we're not in a title race. Is so unlike Liverpool, it's unbelievable. That's just not how the dressing room would be. It's not how the training room would be. We just need to get top four and get to that summer transfer window and have a rest.
Cotton, where's your head at with Liverpool? Well, I know you're not a Liverpool fan, but you know, we from the moment we actually started doing the review shows a couple of years back, it was actually City who won that title, but me and you said openly, you know, Liverpool were going to win the league this year. They didn't. They won it last season. And I felt that they were going to have a bit of a defence. So where's it going wrong for them, in your opinion?
I think we've said it before. We said it during the watch along. This is the manifestation of 3 years of just pushing exceedingly hard with the same group of players. Pretty thin squad sort of thing. They've been fighting on all three fronts for 3 years. They won the Champions League. They almost won the league that year. They won the league last year. But they also then, let's not forget, went out and played in the Club World Championship or the Club World Cup and stuff. This Liverpool team have just gone and gone and gone and gone. And they're mentally exhausted. They're physically exhausted. And like I said to Ed, the bubble has burst. It's not even like there was... it's not like they've dropped off a little bit. it's major. Like, what one defeat has kind of, like, heads are down, people are tired. So when you get players that are already mentally exhausted and then you have a run of results like this, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You will be just like, when what can we do? Like you said, they're losing to Burnley and Brighton. Freak results, yeah, but the performances weren't great. You come into this game, like I said to Ed, I still can't believe that's a 4-1 scoreline. Like, I just can't believe they've just been blown away by City. And I just think Liverpool, this is a blip, right? This will be, they'll be back next year. They need to invest. They do need to invest in the summer, but they'll be back next year. But as Ed said, with the run of fixtures they've got as well, they really need to make sure that they finish top four now, and they need to get some results going under their way quick, because their next two games are Leicester and Everton. And the way they're playing at the minute, anything could happen in those games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from a Liverpool point of view, I look at them as in, I don't look at the injury situation as an excuse as to what's going on. I think I have to side with Cotton in terms of... No. Obviously, injuries are going to affect you. You know, you've arguably got one of the best defenders in world football that is sat on the touchline. But at the end of last season, at the beginning of this season, I don't think he looked like the Van Dijk that he signed anyway. So I honestly don't think that he is a giant miss. I think the key is Henderson in the middle of the park. It is so important to the way Liverpool operate. He's got the biggest mouth there, and he will drive players forward. But when you're playing centre half, you haven't got that same influence on the game as if you have in his natural position. So with him back in midfield, I do hope that we do see that soon, whether it's Kabak who comes in and deputises, or whether it's Young Davies who comes in. Someone needs to partner alongside Fabinho to get Henderson back in the middle of the park, and then we will see a completely different Liverpool. Because at the moment, like, your front three is still your front three. You still have Trent, and you still have Robertson as well. So, you know, the main protagonists of your forward play are still there, and they are still playing every game. But Henderson not being in the middle of the park is very, very painful. Man City, though, they had a bit of a jittery start to the season. Now that's 10 straight wins on the bounce, 30 points earned from a possible 30 gained. And it was funny because it was only, you know, at the beginning of that little run, they were still knocking around in like 8th or 9th. And it's like, oh, that's why no one was talking about them at the time. But they had quite an easy run of fixtures, and they're really taking advantage of the situation. And now, you know, a number of points clear. What are they? They are currently 5 points clear. With the game in hand. Is it City to lose now, boys?
100%. City can't lose this.
No, exactly. It's City's to lose, but I can't. Like Ed said, I can't see them. I can't see them.
City won the title, as far as I'm concerned. And I mean that with the utmost respect for Man United, but I just think Man United are on a transition of becoming that title challenging team. And I think this is the first year we've seen it. I think next year is probably going to be their big year. Liverpool are at the start of a transition, so they're certainly not. We shall see. But I think Manchester City.
Let's have a little chat about the game before we move on to the next one, because City could have taken the lead just before half time with a Gundogan penalty that he blazed over the bar. Why can't City find someone to take a penalty and put it in the back of the net? KDB's missed him, Aguero's missed him, Sterling's missed him, now Gundogan is missing him as well, so it's not looking good for him. But he did make up for it just after half time with a nice little move, and then Ruben Diaz was just getting bummed off by all the commentary team. Seconds later, he then gives away a penalty which Salah dispatches to make one apiece, and then two moments of complete madness from Alisson. I can't even imagine the backlash if that was Arsenal that did that, or if it was Man United who did that. The amount of crap that we would end up getting.
Come on, Gav, you know your goalkeeper can't play with a ball at his feet. Come on.
He can play with it in his hands 40 yards out, but that's a different
story. I was going to say, he can't say anything. Your goalkeeper comes out and clears the ball from halfway line.
Nice little like table tennis hand. But these are two awful, awful decisions. When you've been done by one already, the second time around, you know, just clear your line. And he didn't.
You know, it wasn't even just two, because obviously we were doing the watch along. When he first misplaced the first pass and like had to overstretch, me and Ed were like, "What are you doing? Just get rid of the ball." Then he gave away the first goal with a shady pass. He didn't even look. He didn't even look up. He just pinged the ball over. The second time, like, absolutely just flabbergasted. Like, you've just conceded a goal by doing this. Why are you risking this again? What are you doing? What's going through your head? I would say for that goal, though, the Silva's little chip over to the back post is an unbelievable pass.
Yeah, sumptuous.
Like, just, it's so perfect. It just goes over Alisson's head. Sterling's in there, diving at the back post, ready, and scores the goal. But it's crazy that Alisson is there for that reason. He's there to play the ball with his feet. And it wasn't particularly great, was it?
No. But the fourth goal, nothing we could say. That won't do it justice.
Alisson could have saved that.
I think Alisson's at fault.
Alisson should have at least made a change direction.
I think he's near post, and it's pure chocolate wrist, man. Like, he gets tips to me. It just goes, he just doesn't get anything behind it.
I think he's hit that nicely. Phil Foden.
He has hit it nicely, but it's hit it as straight line.
Phil Foden, the guy who won't play 50 games for Man City as well. He'll never make it.
Well, if Kevin De Bruyne had been fully fit for the last 2 years, would he have?
Might just be playing, you know, 5-10 minutes here, getting the appearances up that way.
Exactly.
let's talk about the two teams that have just beaten Liverpool, and they are Burnley and Brighton. Both teams have just gone to Anfield and picked up results there. Goodmanson, I got the equaliser after Lewis Dunk's header. Burnley and Brighton, Brighton play lovely football, we know this. Burnley, I felt, dominated this game, but couldn't get a result. Would you say it's the fair result, this one apiece?
Yeah. The way the game panned out, it was one of those games you could see pretty early on that this was kind of how it was going to go. There wasn't going to be much in it between the two teams. Yeah, fair result. You can't always beat Liverpool, can you? Sometimes you have got to draw.
I don't remember what it's like beating Liverpool, to be fair, as an Arsenal fan, but
that's one thing you've got to go for it.
That's
one
thing you've got to go for it. No, yeah, but that was on penalties. That didn't count. Yeah. You know, it's a pretend competition anyway. No one gives a shit.
Trust you to have a system where penalties don't count.
Well, after 90 minutes, what was the score? It was one apiece. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you know, don't.
But who went through to the next round? It was you. Yeah, both show their holding hands, taking on pure
back in the day, like when the charity shield was shared. Oh, what's the final score of the charity? Oh, you shared it. Yeah, standing there. Tony Adams and Roy Keane holding it together. Like, yeah, we did it. It's not going to happen. Burnley got in a bit of slack this week, and I don't understand why, if I'm honest. Because, you know, nowadays, you can't have a laugh. And the press conference with Sean Dyche was talking about doppelgangers, and he went on for about 4 or 5 minutes. And it was such a nice interview, the fact that we saw the human side of him. But, you know, and I think the press have backed him, but Burnley fans have been kicking off. I mean, what do you think about players and managers having a bit of humility in the game?
They're humans, man. Yeah, it's not a video game, man. They're human. Like, you want to have fun at your work, don't you? Like, in your workplace, you want to have banter with your colleagues, or you want to have some sort of fun, don't you? Like, yeah, people forget. Yeah, footballers are very privileged. They get to play this game that they love as a job, but it's still their job. At the end of the day, it's a job. Like, if imagine going to the workplace and every day it was just the same, monotonous, boring. Everyone's a robot. Like, I like it. Mm. We need more characters in the game, especially in management.
Because you were saying about other managers, actually, you know, that get somewhere and that have a laugh and stuff. But it's so boring now when you're watching a post match or in a pre match. And the same questions are asked and the same, you know, you get the same response all the time. It's a little bit like, you know, like when there's transfer speculation and they're like, oh, what do you think of this player? You know what the answer is going to be? Well, we're not going to let you know. you know, we're just kind of, we're looking at a number of targets. So, well,
yeah, he's a great player, and I'm sure his manager's happy with him, but I won't be talking about that today.
Yeah, you know, ask someone else, have a laugh, get on with it. That's all I think, anyway. Game that happened today, prior to this, was Wolves versus Leicester. Now, Cotton, you said that you fell asleep during it.
I slept through the whole thing.
I am not surprised. I was not inspired by this game. Ed, did you catch much of this?
I actually was watching this on and off in the background, because Wolves versus Leicester in the last 3 years, I would have made sure I watched this game.
Two clubs. The previous game was 4-3, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, but outside of... these have probably been my seventh and eighth best team outside of the big, quote-unquote big six for me, in recent years anyway. Mm. It was a terrible game. No, you know, there's no way you can sugarcoat this. But Wolves are going through transition. Leicester really missed an opportunity today. Wolves still don't look back to their mark. They've got dangers. They've got threats. I mean, hence why they still beat Arsenal, despite Arsenal being better in that first half. Yeah, they've still got a good Arsenal, but they've got no style to their football, Wolves. Leicester should have done better.
And two players that have come back from injury. Jamie Vardy has been out for the last five or six games with a hernia injury. So, you know, he's going to be coming back. But I think the big one was Johnny. Johnny coming back for Wolves. Massive to them. Plays left wing back, of course. He's been out with an ACL. And to be fair, I thought he looked all right in the first half, but he was hauled off at half-time. But I think that might be more precautionary than a tactical situation, because your old player, Ed Hoover, he came on and filled in at left back, but he didn't really have much to do. I can't think of anything of note to report from this game, if I'm honest, so we will move on.
Wolves and Leicester was there.
Yeah, Wolves and Leicester, they turned up to the game. Thanks for coming.
I saw that Fabio Silva missed a good chance, or I heard that he missed a good chance or something.
People are bagging on him a little bit on Twitter and stuff like that, saying he missed a sitter. But Schmeichel made himself very, very large and came up very quickly as well. The end of the play resulted in a corner. So, yeah, he was very aroused by that.
Yeah, you made himself very large and came up quickly. Love to hear it. I am 31 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
Tottenham are back. Tottenham back title challenging after an emphatic 2-0 win in a giant game against relegation candidate West Brom. Relegated fodder, damn right. Harry Kane is back. So obviously he played and he scored. He scored the opener about 10 minutes into the second half before Heung-min Son. You know, he scored just before the hour mark. And to be fair, both the goals were really good moves, but both were counter-attacking moves. So,
was the first Tottenham one? Back.
The first one.
It's still quite counter-attacking. It wasn't like they were dominating.
I thought Tottenham created a lot of chances before that first goal. They just were just, they couldn't bury him.
West Brom created a few.
Beyond belief today. Honestly, every time. So they was effectively using Tottenham's game plan against them, waiting for the right moment to nick the ball, living dangerously. And every time they had a chance of breaking, they couldn't pass. They'd kick it out for a throw-in. They just snatched at the ball. It's like, West Brom, you are going down. Simple.
Or when they did have a good chance, Diagne was just offside every time. I mean, he scored twice, but both times offside. Yeah.
He was so lazy. Yeah, when you're a forward, you know, you're a striker. You know, you sort of want to play, you know, off the shoulder and, you know, loiter around a little bit. You know, probably stand in an offside position, and then as the ball is about to break, you know, you get yourself back onside, and then you make your run. He didn't even attempt to do that. He had no intention of getting himself back in an onside position, and that was winding me up.
Oh, I would say as well, first of all, he signed for West Brom. Second of all, 99 out of 100, if you sign a player from the Turkish league, and I know we say like it's all relative considering what leagues people playing and stuff, but I mean, if you sign a striker from the Turkish league, that's kind of what you're getting. I mean, Cenk Tosun, what happened there? The only player I'd have had from the Turkish league in the last few years, I'd have had Burak Yilmaz 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't look good. And do you know what? I said it as soon as they sacked Bilic and got in Big Sam. I hope they go down. I really hope they go down and get what's coming to them.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Right then.
Full rest, though. They needed that win.
Yes, they did.
Tottenham did, Jim.
What the f*** was that?
And we could use that about 10 times today as well.
We can. We'll use it again, I'm sure. Should we use it now?
What the f*** was that?
I won't get sick of that. Right. Fulham nil, West Ham nil. It was hard enough to watch the game. So, yeah, what the F was that? But the what the F that moment. Yeah, well, it's not even last 7 minutes. Last play of the game, really, wasn't it? VAR situation. Thomas Souček is sent off on 90+7. And it's a West Ham free kick, which was about to be taken. Mitrovic is then on the floor. There's a conversation that's happening from VAR down into Mike Dean's ear. I need you to go have a look at this. And it appears that Thomas Souček has made contact with Mitrovic in the face via the elbow. So he goes over and has a look at the monitor and says, yes, it was, because he was told by Lee Mason that you need to keep an eye out for a clenched fist. Now, I didn't watch the end part of this game because I was getting ready. So I was on the 4M1T podcast. And by the way, you should have a look at them because they're good lads, they are. And they've been featuring on our stuff as well quite a bit recently. So I was preparing for that. So I didn't get to see this, but I did get a video, the VAR take of what was meant to be looked at. And I was trying to work out why it wasn't a red card. And then you watch it in real time and it's like, how can you even give a card in the first place to a degree? Ed, what did you think about it? Because I know me and Cotton had a long dialogue about this yesterday. Ed, what did you think?
You have this long dialogue, you're having private conversations about
it. It was about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it? Yeah. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was still up at 1 or 2 having long dialogues because I was steaming.
Was you disagreeing or was you agreeing?
Well, we'll get to that.
Ed, oh, no,
let me guess.
Ed, what's your opinion first?
Cotton thinks it should be a red card. Gav is blown away because he could even suggest that that should be a card. Am I right?
Cotton thinks it's a red card.
Why do you think it's a red card?
Yeah,
only because, like, the thing is, well, when I start thinking it's a red card, right, I don't think he should be sent off.
Yeah.
But with the way the laws of the game are, it's a red card. Like, Gav, we were literally only talking the other day about players doing that thing where they're like, oh, I didn't clip him, sir. Oh, my hands are up. I'm being innocent. Now, only we know, right? He's come out and said he hasn't. But only we know whether he meant it right. I could very easily, if I know you're stood next to me, yeah, I could very easily put my hand up and catch you. I think, I'm not saying he's...
You wouldn't with me. You wouldn't have to put your hand up and catch me. He goes straight under my head.
I was watching the game with my uncle, yeah. And as soon as I saw it, before it even went to VAR, I said, that's a red card, though. That's a red card. And they've had it. And I know everyone in the studio was saying it's so soft. Listen, when you watch it in slow motion, when you watch it in full speed, he's elbowed him in the eye socket, man. Like, you sounded like a defence attorney. You were like, and he made a connection with his face with the end of his arm. Like, he elbowed him in the head. the way you've said it is like, my client may have been there. Yeah, I think it's really soft to send him off for it, but I think with the current rules and stuff, I think you have to. Like, if you put your hand in anyone's face, if you do anything, it's... you're running the risk. And I know, like, anyone can say it's accidental, whatever, but at least we got Mike Dean went over to the monitor and still kept his decision, so can't blame VAR there. That's it's on Mike Dean if you think it's wrong. But
Ed,
I mean,
oh, Ed, I want to know your thoughts on it.
It's a penalty as far as I'm concerned, because I believe in one thing: consistency. And for when the blueprint is set, I'm now just going to be like a good little fan, and I'm just going to accept it from now on. Because as far as I'm concerned, opinions don't mean anything anymore. That's what it's... Because it doesn't. I'm so fed up of one thing being this... meaning one thing this week and then another thing the next week. We'll just have some consistency. Whatever. That's a penalty. Fine. Football's dead.
Red, you mean?
It's a red card.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it upsets you as a fan.
It's not about intent as such. But intent isn't in the laws of the game. I've done said that. I've said that enough times.
There we go, then.
But for me, when you look at him, it's not like he's having a look to check to see where the player is. It's sort of like, and
he already knows.
When they were talking about the clenched fist situation, I've been having this conversation loads recently. When you elbow someone, and you could go back and look at 1,000 situations of elbows in the game, and if they've clenched their fist, you know that there's force with it. As soon as you clench your fist, you know, even like if you just go to elbow, like if you're jumping up for a header, if you're jumping up for a header, your hands are loose, they're flat, you know, you jump up like for a header. If you want to get a bit more grit and a bit more aggression in your header or whatever, you will clench your fist. You know, you're squeezing up, you know, you're trying to get out there. And, you know, that he closed his fist. So I don't know I felt for me like Lee Mason was going out there looking for something because the game was so bad. It's like, right, let's try and find something to make this game have some form of entertainment, because there was no entertainment in this game. Lookman had a good game. I thought it was all right, but I don't think it's a red. I think there is contact, so it should be a yellow. I think it should be a yellow card.
When they were saying, oh, look, we're checking for a closed fist, I was like, what do you mean you're checking for a closed fist? But Gav, how many times have players been sent off for elbowing people while they're jumping in the air? Fellaini, all the time. There's no intent in it, but rules is rules, man. If you karate chop someone in the face, like, it is what it is. Again, I think it's very soft to give it, but I think at the minute, the way things are, it gets given.
If
West Ham appeal it, I can't see it getting overturned. I really can't.
I can see it getting overturned. And like, what, going back to what Ed said, he goes, you know, I want consistency, rah, rah, rah. And, you know, the opinion doesn't matter anymore. It still does, because everything is in the laws of the game, but it's still based on the opinion of the referee on that day. In my opinion as a referee, though, I think it's this.
You're right and you're wrong.
That's what it is.
Every decision is going to be an opinion. I understand that, but it shouldn't really be based on your preference of the rules or your perception of the rules. Rules are rules.
But it's not. Like, would you class that as violent conduct or serious foul play?
It's dangerous.
You're fabricating the wording. Is that violent conduct? What happened?
Yes. Yeah, he's elbowed him in the face.
I've accidentally missed a ball in two footages. Violent.
Be serious foul play.
Yeah, but Gav, players
it's
get
some violent conduct. If I'm laying a tackle on you, it's violent conduct, surely.
No, it'd be that would be classed as serious foul play in the old
players way. Get sent off for kicking people in the face when they're trying to kick a ball. There was a free kick given yesterday, right? Someone's stooping to head the ball at like knee level, and the guy's literally volleying it, and the ref's blown for a free kick and a yellow card for dangerous play. What's he supposed to do? The guy's literally on his knees. That's not dangerous height for the player kicking the ball. Like, he's the one that's put himself in that situation. If you make contact and it's dangerous, same with the elbows. Plenty of times Andy Carroll's been sent off for jumping like that, arms, no clenched fist or whatever. And it's not because of the aggression, it's because it's dangerous and it endangers the player. Whether he meant to do it or not, I mean, Suchet come out and said, well, I spoke to Mitrovic and he said that he thought it wasn't a foul. Well, that's funny because Mitrovic...
Was Mitrovic that's on the floor? Yeah. Yeah. Mitrovic made it worse. He made it completely worse. You got to think. I know you shouldn't look at each player I'm expected this to happen because it's this person. Like, for instance, you know, when Mo Salah goes down, people automatically think, oh, it's a dive because it's Mo Salah, you know. But this is Mitrovic. He's a tank.
Serbian war criminal, mate. Like,
it would take a lot more for him to
that penalty. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. It is, yeah. Is he allowed back? Right, what should we do next? Ah, yeah, of course. Let's do...
Get United on the way.
Well, I thought about it, so yeah, why not?
Let's get up.
What's our Everton?
Right, I'll take full responsibility for this, by the way. Manchester United 3, Everton 3. All Everton goals were scored when I vacated my hot seat on the watch along with 4N1T yesterday. So I apologise on behalf of all Manchester United fans.
Yeah,
oh, no,
thanks.
Is that fair?
Cheers, right. Cheers. That apology means as much to me as the GPLO LMNOP coming out and saying, oh, sods guys, the Sheffield United goal shouldn't have counted. Cheers. Thanks for that. That apology means the world. This game is honestly, like, the rage I'm still feeling is unbelievable.
Cavani opened the scoring on 24 minutes before a beautiful 20-yard penalty from Bruno Fernandes. Goals were brought back by Everton very early into the second half by James Rodriguez, who we all said at halftime should have been hauled off because he was offering absolutely nothing, banter, and Decore scored one just before that. McTominay with a lovely strike, McSauce, as everyone calls him, 20 minutes before time, before Calvert-Lewin, the pretty much the last kick of the game, grabs an equaliser at Old Trafford to secure a point. Cotton.
Yep.
You alright?
Yeah. Christ, where do we start? To be 2-0 up and not win that game is a scandal. All the goals were so avoidable. I'm lost for words on them. I mean, the equaliser with the last kick of the game. I'm just so. What can I say? Like I've said before, I've given De Gea the free pass because he was our player of the year for 3 years in a row. Could have gone off and done other things. Should have gone off and done other things. That's it. The debt is paid. I'm done with him. He can never play again for all I care. He's got absolutely no bottle, doesn't come for any crosses, doesn't come for anything. And another player I'm done defending is Harry Maguire, because he is literally 5 yards, 5-10 yards, 5 yards, playing everyone onside. Like he's not even close to the line. And one of the players that he played onside, Michael Keane, flicks the header on for Calvert-Lewin. It's just a shambles, mate. Like, it's just that, and that's it. With that result last night and this result today, any a semblance of a dream that there was a title challenge is done. It's game over. We can't keep losing or drawing these games with these sort of performances. It's just not good enough. The decision making from certain players was non-existent again. I'm not even using this as an excuse. The reason we lost was because Drew was because De Gea and Maguire in that situation. But we're talking about consistency, right, and the rules and stuff with referees. The Southampton game, right? Now, we scored 9 goals. There was 2 red cards and 6 substitutions, right? 3 minutes added on time. Can you explain to me where the refs got 6 minutes from in this game? Can you explain to me? Because it was 4 minutes.
No, I generally can't. No, I can't.
Mate,
today.
Honestly, it angers me so much. There is a still screenshot from Sky Sports, and De Gea is taking a goal kick at 94:06. How have we not won that game? And again, I'm not saying, oh, because it's Fergie time. It's come back to haunt us, isn't it? But like we were saying with the, I want consistency. Like, how can you have 6 subs, 2 yellow cards, and 9 goals in one game and get 3 minutes? And then in this game, we got 4 that led to 6. Like, where has that come from? And I said to Ed before, I don't want NFL or NBA style stop the clock. But if the rule is half a minute for a substitution or 20 seconds for a goal celebration or whatever, then do it properly. Add them up. I don't care that we were 9-0 up against Southampton. If there was 5 or 6 minutes to add on, add 5 or 6 minutes on. Like, there's no consistency with it. But again, not blaming that for the reason we drew. We simply weren't good enough. So just finished as high as we can in the league now and hopefully push on in the Europa League as well. But
Ed, to your favourite clubs battling out here in a 6-goal thriller, what was your take on the match?
As a fan of Liverpool or as a neutral watching the game?
We're meant to be neutrals, aren't we? You know? give me both.
As a fan, I saw it as an opportunity to maybe recover something. You got a title rival and a top four rival dropping points against each other. So I saw that as a positive result. Although I think this is just sums up my point. Manchester United have improved significantly, but they're still on that incline up. I think what they'll try and look at is some defensive issues, because goals isn't their problem. Certainly isn't. It's just retaining them leads or not losing their clinical moments. Everton, this is probably the best Everton side I've seen in the Premier League era. But
yeah.
I still don't see enough from them. I see them with individuals. So will Calvert-Lewin put in a good game and win Everton the game? Will James Rodriguez win Everton the game? I don't necessarily praise Everton's style of football. Or it's not a style of play which beats teams. This was probably a fair result in truth.
I don't know. Everton had three shots on target and they were all of our
own. That's goal. Everton. I mean, like, Man United are the better side. No question about that. Man United probably 9 times out of 10 win this game, but Everton did what Everton do. But, you know, Everton, I don't think, are doing enough to push on higher, whereas Man United are doing just the right thing.
There's three players that I want to call out. One who didn't feature in the game at all. One who played first half, and the other one who played full 90 minutes. Everton struggle a lot when Alan isn't in the team. It's so evident that when he's not there. And it's all good having Decore there, but I think they need to have two decent holding midfielders. Tom Davies, you know, he isn't the guy that I signed on Football Manager in 2017. He's not that guy. So it's very frustrating seeing he's not very good. You can't bring Gylfi Sigurdsson to play in that sort of deeper sitting role. It doesn't suit his game at all. The player who played 45 minutes, and I think this was the key, was Pogba. Pogba coming off it changed the whole shape of how Man United were approaching the game. And I never thought I would. Well, I love Pogba, as everyone knows anyway, but I didn't realise how important he was until he wasn't there, if that makes sense. But the player that I do want to call out in a positive way, played 90 minutes, Luke Shaw. He was phenomenal yesterday. He really was up and down. He was the timing of his challenges were impeccable. And I think it was Chris on 4M1T yesterday. He said Man United's best signing is actually Alex Telles. And the reason why is because Alex Telles' signing has bought out a brand new Luke Shaw. And it's got to be a shoo-in that he will go to the Euros now, providing they go.
Man, best left-back in the Premier this season. Like, there's not even a question about that.
I'd agree.
But one player, what we're saying about the calling out players. So as I said yesterday, Everton scored with all three of their shots. So David De Gea has saved just 60.9% of shots on his goal in the league this season. Only Rui Patricio with 59.7 has a lower save percentage of all Premier League keepers with 15 plus appearances. It's done, man. Like, it's Dean Henderson's there. He's waiting. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Like, this should be Dean starts in the cup on Tuesday because it's a cup game. And I think that should just be it for a while. Ollie will just leave him in. De Gea's made a few high-profile mistakes again. Time, isn't it?
We will see. Right, the Arsenal. They lost 1-0 to Aston Villa on the lunchtime game yesterday. Ollie Watkins, after just 2 minutes, well, a minute and 13 seconds, I think it was, on Matt Ryan's debut, his first touch of the ball was taking the ball out of the back of the net. And I felt for him. I felt for him, man, because that whole move came off the back of poor awareness by both Cedric Suarez and by Gabriel. Cedric Suarez, why are you playing that ball? Well, every time he was in that sort of situation, he was always turning to face his goal again and play a really flat ball to a player. Don't understand his reasoning for it. But then Gabriel, it's almost like he didn't want to be there. He was on his heels. And it's like, I know you've had a bit of time out and you only played 45 minutes or whatever, but look like you care, look like you want it, you know? Yeah. And, you know, there was, in that whole move, there were four mistakes by Arsenal. And I wouldn't even say it was the final shot, because the shot was deflected off of Rob Holding. In fact, no, he was part of it. It was Matt Ryan who wasn't at fault. And I saw Arsenal fans kicking off about him. And I was thinking, what? And I thought Matt Ryan was the best performer for Arsenal yesterday. He had a great game yesterday. Villa didn't really have much of the ball, but when they did have a chance, it was Matt Ryan who was equal to every chance that they had. So I'm cool with his performance. Midway through the first half, there was a situation with Ezri Konsa and a challenge on Bukayo Saka. He's about 10 yards into the opposition half. And, you know, without that challenge, he's got a clear run on goal. Ezri Konsa makes contact, gives away the foul, gets a yellow card. I'm cool with that. But if you go on Twitter, it's a completely different story, isn't it?
Do, 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 do. The X-Files and all the conspiracies.
They're all coming
out. Like, but you know what? The thing is as well, yeah? This is going to sound so stupid. You can't guarantee, you literally can't look into the future. Like, you can't guarantee that Saka doesn't take a mad heavy touch and the ball rolls through to the keeper. You can't, like, yeah, he's fast and whatnot, but I think it was Matt Target was closing the angle. And if he ran diagonal and all the keeper comes out, whatever. It's not a goal scoring chance 50 yards out from goal. Also, the ruling, he's tried to play the ball and he's won the ball. Well, he's made a genuine attempt to get
the ball.
And that's it. So it's a yellow card. Like, there's no.
Your card's getting rinsed by Levi.
I'll just put that.
I know.
is that Levi? Like, is that Mo? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Arsenal fans, honestly, Arsenal fans are making me lose love for Arsenal more so than what I'm seeing on the pitch. Because, like, for instance, the Wolves game. I was happy with Arsenal's performance in that game. I really was. First 45 minutes,
we were
brilliant. And the second half, you know, we're down to 10 men. You know, a bit of a struggle, you know, and then we're down to 9 men. It's going to be tough. And we still had an opportunity to try and get a point out of it. I thought it was a good performance when you're against it all. And then this performance here, defensively, you know, I think in the second half we did very much what Everton used to do, where it's like, oh, we're losing. Okay, let's go with a 3-2-5 formation and see what happens. And that's what happened yesterday. There was like overload at one point where Odegaard, Pepe, and Saka were all occupying like the left wing position and leaving nothing elsewhere. And it's like, oh, come on, you need to be a bit smarter than that. Tyrone Mings, who I dug out quite a bit a few weeks ago, was brilliant yesterday. Absolute man mountain. And if it weren't for him, I would probably say it would have been 2-1 Arsenal. And if it was the case, I don't think any Arsenal fan or anyone in particular would complain about the performance that Arsenal put out there. Because I thought we played bloody well. But so when we don't win the game, it's like, right, who should we dig out? Oh, Pepe was shit. Oh, you know, Aubameyang was this. Well, to be fair, Aubameyang didn't really aid the game. But Pepe, I thought, had a good game again when he was out on the left-hand side. When he came out to the right, he looked a bit lost and we all knew what he was going to do. Odegaard looked like a breath of fresh air when he came on. I'll probably say the player that didn't look all that yesterday was Emil Smith Rowe. And maybe he's just played a few too many games. But because he's a youngster and because he's one of our own and that sort of stuff, you can't say anything wrong about him. And it's like, no, come on, let's take our Arsenal goggles off and let's have a look at the game from a general perspective. If you claim to be a football fan. If you're a football fan, look at it from a football point of view. Was Emil Smith Rowe any good yesterday? No.
No.
Is he allowed to have a bad game? Of course he is. Every player's allowed to have a bad game. You know, so and praise players when credit and give players credit when credit's due. Another player who was poor for Arsenal again was Willian, and I don't understand. There's got to be something going on there why Willian is getting so much game time at the moment, because Martinelli is sat there on the bench. If you're fit enough to be on the bench, you're fit enough to play, as far as I'm concerned. So got to bring him on. So that's my moan about the Arsenal anyway.
I would say Pepe looked good on the ball yesterday. He still has a long way to go for his decision making. There was a chance where I think it was, I want to say Rob Holden, I don't know if it was. Someone was back stick and free, and Pepe could have just dinked a little ball over the top and headed it into an empty net. And Pepe's just swiped at a half volley it's gone miles wide, and it's just like, come on, come on, man, get that cross into the box, and you're all right.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about Villa though, because Villa, they got what they wanted. They got the point, and it's your man Ollie Watkins. And Adam is just saying he's watching it via Twitch. And me and Adam have actually had quite a few conversations about it, because Adam is a Man United fan, but you know, because of where he lives in London, he used to go. We used to have quite an affiliation to Brentford, and he used to love Ollie Watkins. And would say, "Oh, you know, he could be a Prem player." Well, yeah, we like that. And you know, people are talking about Patrick Bamford as a potential call for England. Why are we not talking about Ollie Watkins? Why are we not having that conversation?
Because we didn't put money on Ollie Watkins.
Very fair point.
Because he's not coming to haunt us like that. Watkins is the same. I see Watkins the same as I see Mings. Like, they're very good players, but Watkins is still young. So an England call-up is in his future. But right now, we've got Kane firing. We've got Calvert-Lewin having the season of his life. Like, and then you have to squeeze other forwards in, like Rashford, Foden, Sterling, like people that want to play up and around.
He's 25.
Yeah, but he's like, if he doesn't go to the Euros this year, he'll still get an England call-up at some point.
There's a chance that he could get another shout, yeah.
I just think that a striker isn't something we're lacking at the minute, unfortunately, for him. But yeah, I think he's quality. I love him to bits. His movement's great. He's blistering pace.
His work rate, because there was the attack that Arsenal had, and like, because after, I think it was Watkins who actually lost the ball, and he went all the way home into his own box to make sure he won the ball able to start things again. And it was, I thought it was brilliant from Ollie Watkins. Brilliant stuff. Yeah, and then the final game that we're talking about is Newcastle 3, Southampton 2. What were the odds on another Benderek own goal? Because like, it sort of went down.
No, I was thinking that. I looked at him, I was like, you ain't having a good week. I was like,
no, he's having. He could have been sent off as well. Probably should have been sent off as well.
I bet you this is the worst week of his career. Oh, yeah. Like, he'd have to do something else to top this week.
Oh yeah, his dog probably went missing and stuff as well. He's missing cheating. Yeah,
when that own goal goes in, I bet he was thinking, God, I could have had 3 days off. I could have had 3 days. I could have been at home vibing, man. And here I am scoring another own goal. Like, what a time to be alive.
Do you know what? The as it stands, it still has gone down as an Almiron goal.
Really?
Yeah, up to this point, still it still goes down to Almiron goal. It should go to the Dubis goals panel. That has got to be a. I don't think it was on target. But two low knees scoring on their debuts for clubs. Joe Willock opening the goal scoring for Newcastle on loan from Arsenal. Very good move. You know, Arsenal fans, including myself, wanted him out anyway. Not in a bad way, but we just don't think he's quite there yet. Liverpool fans are a little bit touch and go with Minamino though, aren't they? Some are saying, you know, give him some time. Some are saying, you know,
Minamino, he's got ability, certainly. He was the second, doesn't say much, but he was the second best player at Salzburg behind at Haaland. He was, and that was a good side. I think he scored something like 54. I think he's got like 54 goals and assists, so exactly how that's split up. Yeah. I don't know. You know, he's still a relatively young lad. I think Southampton's fantastic. I'm actually glad he's gone to Southampton, because there's a player there, but he's certainly not ready to break into the Liverpool team. Well,
I just thought the goal was special. Yeah, really, really good.
He'll be good with Danny Ings, who's out of form.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So Almiron, credited with one of the goals. And then, you know, to make it 3-1, That was pretty poor when we talk about goalkeepers. Once again, playing out from the back, you don't need to do that. I think Darlow, he was trying. I don't know what he was trying to do, and then he just ended up putting players into unnecessary situations, which allowed, you know, Almiron a half decent opportunity just to be like, oh, okay, I'm having this, and he took it really well. Ward-Prowse with his free kick though, a special free kick,
unbelievable.
Who would you say is the best dead ball, best in dead ball situation in the Premier League at the moment?
The Premier League or in England?
Premier League, 100%.
Premier League, then him. If it's England, mate.
Yeah. Oh, fair. Right. Let's have a cheeky look at the table. Obviously, there's a game going on at the moment, so I won't be able to see what's going on there right now.
Well, it's just about to kick off.
It's just about to kick off. Lovely stuff.
Arsenal
are top again. It's nice. I've actually done that wrong, but it's actually worked out all right. I was supposed to just go to 11. I was in a rush. So Sheffield United, obviously, they're having a great time. And they've got Chelsea. So that's going to be
fun. Should be
fun. West Brom, obviously, they're having a good time as well. Fulham, they picked up a point, but they're also having a good time. There's an 8-point gap between Fulham and Burnley. So Burnley, you know, they should be starting to look at what's going on ahead of them rather than what the concern is behind them at the moment. Stephen Cotton is relieving himself live on air as we speak.
Ollie Burke should have scored. Sorry, he put it into the side net and should have been a goal there. 40 seconds
Olivier Oof. Burke. Naughty man.
Burke, that's the guy.
You can't make it sound more continental. That makes him a better Burke player, apparently. Olivier Burke, yeah, exactly.
Lads, come on.
It's just exciting. Brighton and Newcastle are in 15th and 16th, both on 25 points. Wolves, after their point against Leicester, keeps them in 14th place. Palace are due to play. And then we have a look at the top half of the table, of course. There's Arsenal again. Nice to see you. Aston Villa, after their victory over Arsenal, they've got two games in hand over them, and there's a 4-point gap. So there could be a giant gap between, you know, the teams from ninth and above, you could say. Chelsea, they're in action at the moment. They're on level on points at the moment with Tottenham, both on 36 points. Everton, after their point at Old Trafford yesterday, they are in sixth place on 37 points. West Ham are on 39. They've played 23 games. But then top four looks like this. Liverpool in fourth place after their defeat against Man City earlier on today. Leicester could have extended that gap, but they were succumbed to a point at Molineux earlier on today. That leaves them in third place on 43 points. Manchester United on 45 points, having played a game more than title challenging, or you could say champions elect, Manchester City, who are top of the league on 50 points, 5 points clear of Manchester United as it stands with a game in hand.
There was a great comment here from Joe. It was the most open league ever, and the title and relegation wrapped up first week of February. Pretty much.
Most exciting league in the world.
You get that every year, though.
I know.
I even heard them get dished out when, like, City and Liverpool were, like, too many points ahead. I was like, ow, how can you still say that? I'm like...
It's what it is. We need to have a look at, I don't know, some like Albanian football or something, you know, where, you know, all back the teams with like football. Belarusian football. Yeah, we're like four games to go. Like the team at the top could still get relegated and shit like that.
Yeah.
Later on tonight is the Super Bowl. My boys, the Kansas City Chiefs, are playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're doing a live watch along that. You'll be able to see that.
Are you putting it on to a job then?
Yeah, some of it's going to be on at top, but the rest is going to be on dugout. So, you know, be able to see it on multiple platforms, and we're doing that.
Stream on here as well.
I am.
Yeah, good.
Just said that. So yeah, it's going to be on here.
And some of it.
Some of it in terms of like the level of distribution. Some of it's going to be here, some of it's going to be over there, but you can watch it wherever you like via Two Up Top Football or Football Dugout in association with the London Olympian football team, the most successful British American football team ever, which is nice.
So you have to catch that language. Ever. The most successful British team ever. They beat Ireland.
They've gone to Europe and won titles and stuff. They went on a 7-year unbeaten run, and one season they only conceded 6 points in the whole season, which is
okay. How many times have they played against an NFL team? Have they played them for jest?
Ed, you sound like even the NFL, right? It's America, and the winner is the American football world champion.
Yeah, I know.
World champion of America.
They say it all the basketball all the time, and it's like, here come the world champions. I'm like, very self-declared.
There's actual reason behind that, and it's because
it's called the
all
national,
of them.
National Basketball Association, yet they're world champions. It's like, make your mind up.
They used to be sponsored by a newspaper called The World. So therefore, it was the World Championships.
So they're not sponsored by them anymore, so they can change it, can't they?
Not anymore, so they can change the wording now, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that is why it came around.
In your case in the 40s, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Hey, look, I don't look a day over 58, so. But that was the review show. We'll be back later on in the week with other bits and bobs, I'm sure. You can follow us on all social media, at Tuck Top Football, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and Facebook, at Tuck Top Football. And if you didn't know already, if you put Tuck Top into Google, our name is up first. Many thanks from myself, Gav Mack, Stephen Cotton, Ed Hall.
Go away.
De Gea out.